So in order to get the advanced parole, you need to have DACA. And this is a type of advanced parole that allows you to leave the country, but you need to have a reason for that. So it could be to see family or for medical reasons, or if there's an important event like a wedding that you want to see and you explain it. With this advanced parole and this legal entry, I could apply for my residence. And within 6 months, I was able to see an immigration officer and she gave me a sort of green card. Yeah, which I was able to then use and provide to my university. And I was able to get all the grants that I needed right before starting my first semester.
This is Assorted Immigrant Stories Podcast. My name is Zenith Mwangahamambamalao, and I am your host. And for those of you that are stopping by for the very first time, this is a podcast about immigrant journeys, the things I and others wish we knew. We have interviews and share conversations with immigrants from diverse backgrounds and countries as they share their own immigration stories. We explore struggles, triumphs, and cultural adjustments. We discuss identity, belonging, and community. And we also highlight successes and contributions to both American society and back home, and that's wherever home might be. We also review some books that touch on the immigrant story. So don't forget to rate and review, like, share, and subscribe to wherever you get your podcast from. Hello, everyone. On today's episode, we have Carla. She will share with us her coming to America story. She was a dreamer who was a recipient of DACA and today a United States citizen. Carla, say hi to everybody.
Hi, my name is Carla. I've been living in the U.S. since I was 6, and now I live in Maryland, and I've been a registered nurse for a year.
Well, congratulations to you for that, by the way. So you say you came here when you're around 6 years old. So do you remember your life? She is from Mexico. We didn't mention that. Do you remember your life in Mexico before 6 years old?
Yes, I do remember some parts and pieces of me living in Mexico and going to school and seeing my cousins and my grandparents.
Wow. Do you have any favorite game that you played when you were young?
I remember playing marble games.
Okay.
The ones that you flick and you roll a dice. I don't remember too much about it now, but like I remember that being one of my games as a child.
Okay. Well, I forgot to impress you. ¿Cómo estás?
Okay. Estoy muy bien. Gracias.
Just gracias. Oh, I say a little bit. I know how to say ¿cómo estás? ¿Me tu enfermera está días?
Okay. Oh, I see. I know you're doing good with those Spanish speaking patients. Yeah.
¿Necesita algo? All right.
Of course.
Okay.
Your Spanish is really good.
I'm trying. You know, I promised myself that I'll learn Spanish by the end of 2024, but I didn't do a good job at it. So maybe next year I will jump on it so that I could really communicate better, especially when we do get Spanish speaking patients. It does help. They get excited too when a patient comes in and you can speak a little bit. Then they tell you like 10 paragraphs and you're like,
It really kind of like you can really see a different perspective from being able to understand Spanish, and they open up to you so much more and share like their concerns, and they know that you're there to help them since there's a that language barrier.
Right. In fact, my project I want to work on has to do with the language barrier. But okay, we're not going to get into that today. Mm-hmm. Tell me, how did you come to the United States of America?
From what I remember, I had crossed the border once with my mom, and that didn't work out. We were stopped by Border Patrol, and they sent us back. And so we tried again, and this time it was my grandma, who was living here in the U.S. She came back, and she helped set everything up so I could go with her, and then my mom can go on her own.
Okay.
And I remember it being like through car, and then we were in the border at some point, and there were just a lot of people, and we kind of just blended in with the people going by. And I know there were some police officers, but they didn't stop us, so luckily we just kind of came in.
Oh, wow. So you came in twice.
Yes.
So take me back to the first time. You're coming in with your mom. Are you driving or are you walking across the border?
We walked. We walked the desert of like the whole night.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And you were 6 years old. Was anybody else with you? Was it just you and your mom?
It was my mom, my uncle, who was 15 or 16 at that time, and other group of people.
Okay. And you said they turned you away.
So we were stopped, and they got everyone's information, but they didn't get mine because I was a child. They got my mom's and everyone else's. And then they sent us back. I don't know if it was through car or how, but like I remember we went back to my house in Mexico.
Okay. What city in Mexico are you living in?
It's close to Mexico City. It's called Chimalhuacan.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Nice.
Yes.
So, and then you mentioned your grandmother. Was your grandmother living here undocumented at the time?
Yeah, she was. She was living in Maryland for like roughly a year already.
Okay. So how did she now organize for you to come here? How did she come and get you? Did she cross the border into Mexico and then brought you back in by foot?
I think so. I think that's how it happened. She drove and then... There's people you can pay to help facilitate border crossings. Yeah, it's kind of under the table thing. Yeah.
It's with your grandmother. You said you blended in with the people, right? When you crossed, when you came back. And how old were you this time?
I think I was still 6 years old.
Okay, so it was within the same time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And did your mom ever make it back into the United States of America?
She did. She did. She came. She just took a different route.
Okay. And she did, I guess, there are many places. So, and I guess Mexico is to the southern border of the U.S. I meant to ask at the beginning where it is on the map.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't miss it. It's below the U.S.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So you come into the United States of America. You're 6 years old. Do you come straight to Maryland?
I think we stopped at a few states like New Mexico, and then we worked our way up through car. And then I think there were like some people that let us kind of stay in their house for a little bit, and then we kept going by car.
And what year is this? Do you remember?
I might have been 2005, 2006.
Okay. So you come here into Maryland, you're living with your grandmother. What was life like here? Because that's the time you have to go to school. So did you go to school right away? What was that like?
So it had come around the time where school had already started. So maybe August, September. My mom enrolls me right away in school. And then I remember getting on a bus. I've never seen a yellow bus before. And then I got in. I didn't speak the language. So I just got on the bus, sat down. And then when I got to school, I didn't know where to go. And I saw this other girl that looked kind of the same age as me. And I just followed her. And she was headed to the cafeteria. And then I remember the school counselors coming in to look for me. And then they took me to my class. And it was my first grade class. And I was being introduced to my teacher. And they were asking me my name. And I just didn't know what they were saying. So I just smiled. And then I like took a seat, and yeah, it was kind of hard, like the first year not knowing the language, but the teachers were very supportive, and I remember being enrolled in ESOL. It's for students who speak a second language, and I think they helped transition me into like English and kind of in the school program. Mm-hmm.
So, and what was life like in general for your grandmother and your aunt, being that they were undocumented? What could you get? What could you not get? If you needed to see a doctor, how did that work out?
I don't think I had insurance as a child. Luckily, I never got sick, but there's like clinics that offer support for like people with low socioeconomic backgrounds, but then there's like a wait list, and then you kind of have to like see when you can fit in.
Okay. So there are places where you can go and somebody can see you and potentially write a prescription for you if you need it. Right. So does it apply to, like, let's say vision, dental, or is it just when it's something major?
I think they do. They do provide like dental, vision, just kind of general care. But luckily I never got sick when I was a child. And if I did, my mom would get me like over the counter medications, and that was usually okay.
All right. So we're just talking about the benefits of when you're undocumented, what you can get and not get. And I know you once shared a story about going to the dentist. Can you just share with our listeners what it was like?
So I remember like being 18 or 19. I had already gotten my DACA and my green card, but I didn't get my insurance yet. And I needed to go to the dentist and get my wisdom teeth removed, but I didn't have insurance. So I had to go to one of the hospitals nearby that offered like walk-ins for wisdom teeth removal. And I remember waking up really early with my mom and then driving up and like being in line around 4 a.m. to get a spot, because it was like a first come first serve thing. And the people that operated on me were like dental students. Yeah. And like, since I didn't have insurance, I couldn't afford the anesthesia that puts you to sleep. I just got local anesthesia. I was awake for the whole process. But it's just, I feel it's one of those things that you have to do when you don't have the resources to afford like medical care.
So you felt everything.
Yeah. But luckily it was fast. It was like 30 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, that's really painful. And I hope it has gotten better today. I hope people don't have to go through that.
It didn't hurt, but I did like hear it and the kind of feel the tugging and the pulling.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's the downside of not being documented, right? You don't have insurance, and sometimes things happen and you go through this, but I certainly do hope that things do get better for everybody. Yeah. Oh, okay. And was your mom and your grandmother able to work?
They were able to work. They found jobs at like fast food restaurants, like Chick-fil-A, McDonald's. And also my mom, she was working in the same areas as my grandma. So my grandma kind of helped my mom transition into working here and was able to get her the jobs.
All right. So when did you then realize that you were undocumented?
I think when I was like 12 or 13, I realized that of my immigration status.
And how did that come to light?
I think when I saw my parents talking to lawyers and they're getting my paperwork set up for getting some legal status.
Okay. So,
yeah.
But it never came up at school. Like, it was, you going to school was not an issue, right?
No. No, and I don't think I ever told anyone at school, but like my name definitely did stand out. And since me speaking or struggling to speak English was obvious, I did get a lot of like maybe some discrimination, and some kids would make fun of like my last name or. Yeah, so small things like that.
So did your mom then explain it to you when she was talking to the lawyers? Did she say to you,
yeah,
this is what it is and this is what we are trying to do? So in 2012, former President Barack Obama did sign an executive order, and that provided, so you're considered a dreamer because you came under 16 and you're undocumented. So that provided dreamers some relief from deportation and some sort of temporary work permit, and it's called DACA, which is Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. So did you benefit from that?
Yes, I could. I was around 14 or 15 when my parents applied me for that, and I remember that we had to collect all my school records, all my medical records, trying to prove that I was in here for this certain time period that DACA needed for requirement. And I remember going to Baltimore, this place called CASA. And CASA is like this group of people that help those who are trying to get DACA.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And I know, I think in 2017, President-elect Trump tried to rescind it, but the courts stopped it. And the DREAM Act itself has never passed because the DACA is kind of like temporary. Yes. And I guess the DREAM Act,
you have to renew.
You have to renew every 2 years, is it?
Yes.
I imagine that's very stressful.
It was very stressful, but I didn't think too much of it while I was in high school. It was like my senior year where I was like wondering what was going to happen when I go to college because I wasn't qualified for getting any FAFSA or any like federal grants unless I was a resident or U.S. citizen. And then I remember exactly when Trump was elected, he stopped all of like the DACA applications as soon as he became president. But luckily, right around the elections in November, I got granted an advanced parole, which allowed me to leave the country and then come back. And that's what happened. I did it in November. I left the country for two weeks, and then I came back to the United States, and then I was stamped that I had legal entry, and that was all done right before Trump started serving his term.
Wow. So then that allows you to have an I-94 in your passport, and you sort mm-hmm. of have like a do-over.
Yes. And I was granted all the FAFSA grants, but it didn't process in the university unless they saw that I had proof of a residence or any type of like legal permanent stay. So in order to get the advanced parole, you need to have DACA.
Okay.
And this is a type of advanced parole that allows you to leave the country, but you need to have a reason for that. So it could be to see family or for medical reasons.
Okay.
Or if there's an important event like a wedding that you want to see and you explain it. With this advanced parole and this legal entry, I could apply for my residence. And within 6 months, I was able to see an immigration officer and she gave me a sort of green card.
Okay. Okay. Yeah,
which I was able to then use and provide to my university. And I was able to get all the grants that I needed right before starting my first semester.
Okay. So do you think a lot of people, when granted the advanced parole, are afraid to leave because they might think they might not be able to come back?
I think so. Maybe they might fear that they might not be let in. But it's just like a risk that we took and we just went with it. And we also had like really good lawyers that gave us good reassurance that it was going to work and there was not going to be a problem.
Okay. Yeah. It's good. It's good to have a great immigration lawyer.
Yeah.
Because you could be steered either the wrong or the right way. And it could cost you some time. So
yeah, so we were definitely, we got informed with a lawyer before doing any of that type of paperwork.
Okay. Okay. But in the meantime, the Bill Act has never passed. It's just sort of been around. So people have to renew every 2 years. And is there like a limit?
No. So you just keep up renewing it every 2 years, and then there's a fee. I remember it being like maybe $500.
Okay.
Like, that for this application and to renew it. So there's a lot of young people that are renewing because they don't have a way to get a legal process in their immigration.
Okay.
And so the only thing keeping them here is their DACA status that allows them to work in the United States.
Okay. So you get a work permit. Okay. Yeah. You can go to university. You just won't get the FAFSA.
You won't get the FAFSA and you would be considered like a foreigner.
Like an international student, kind of.
Yeah.
Okay.
International student. Yes, correct.
Are you able to pay in-state or out-of-state tuition?
It would be like international tuition.
So it is out of state tuition you have to pay. Oh, so which means it's expensive.
Yes.
Which means it's very expensive because as an international
student. There's many people that have done that and they've gone into a lot of debt, but they got through their education and some are even nurses and doctors.
So towards the end of October into November, I did go for a magnet conference in Enola, New Orleans, Louisiana. And a class got my attention and I knew I had to attend it. It was titled Home Away From Home. So really, it was speaking to international nurses that are being recruited and they're trying to create a program to help people transition better because of the cultural shock and everything else, just to make the transition better. And at the end of it, people were standing up to ask questions, to comment. And I was one of those people. And I thought about you because one of the nurses stood up and she said, I am a DACA recipient and I'm a registered nurse. Is there anything you have for us? You get this work permit, but that's it. There's no...
Yes.
Path to residency or citizenship because the act has never passed. It doesn't exist. And because the program that they were describing recruits nurses, let's say from Philippines or from any country outside, and actually even Mexico. I realized there's a special program for Mexico, and I think it's a TN visa for nurses. So, yes, if they go to Zambia, it's called, for example, it's the EB3 visa, so they would process nurses, and it's path to green card, and you'd become a citizen, obviously, but you'd come and work here, you'd have a work permit. And I believe for Mexico, we can look that up.
It says
you found it
of Canada or Mexico.
Right. But that's meant for people who are coming from there, not for the DACA recipient who is here, because that's the person who's on the other side. Yes, I just saw that not too long ago, and I was like, oh, okay, so they actually do have this. But yeah, my heart sank, because obviously she didn't know she was undocumented until whatever age she found out, and there's no way to go. And the lady said, no, we don't have. Actually, one of the ladies even said, I don't even know what that is. So I thought that was interesting. Yeah, so hopefully, you know, something will.
And like, you know, now that with DACA, like, we, you know, you don't have any legal status, and it's hard to get insurance, and having to pay almost 3 times the amount of tuition. So, you know, these people are in a lot of debt.
Yeah, and it's hard.
Still unable to go back to their home country and see their family. So,
Yeah. And that's one of the questions I've been forgetting to ask everybody I'm talking to. How long did it take before you went back home the first time? For me, it was almost 12 years. And it was hard, because in that time frame, people have died, people have gotten married, people have been born,
have grown,
families have expanded. You miss so much, but it's difficult, right? Because you're paying
that time that you could have spent with your loved ones.
Yeah, and then you have to send money home and help out, and it cannot be easy. We do hope for the best.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now that Trump will be back into office next year, what are some of the things being talked about in the community as it relates to DACA and the Dreamers Act?
Yeah, so a lot of people fear that DACA will be eliminated for good, or they fear deportation. Like, there's going to be a mass deportation.
Because if DACA is stripped away, then there's no protection for those who came. I believe it's 16 and under. That's whom it protects, right?
I mean, my hope is that it stays, and hopefully he doesn't deport all these young immigrants who came here with DACA.
All right. So, I've heard you mention a young sister. Was she born here?
Yeah, she was born when I was 10.
Okay, so here in the United States. Okay. Yeah. All right, well, so how often do you go back to Mexico now?
Now that I became a U.S. citizen since last year, I've been to Mexico twice.
Oh, nice. And how is that when you go?
It's amazing. It's amazing having the freedom of going back to your country and seeing your family, and the freedom of traveling around the world is really a privilege.
Okay. So what advice would you give to either parents or dreamers, people that are thinking of coming? What advice would you give them?
I would tell them to stay informed and know the laws, because there's a lot of things that they think they're doing to help their child and to build a better future for themselves, but then they could negatively affect them if they don't know the laws and they come here illegally. But as long as they know the laws and they have a plan of coming in and staying up to date with the news, just stay informed and get a good lawyer.
Okay. Because like you said, you didn't know until you were 12 years old, and this is something that could really affect you I know you had a wonderful lunch with your mom today, but what's your relationship like? How do you talk about this, you know, how you came to the United States? Is this something that ever comes up?
It does, but like, I think that was, we kind of have kept it in the past now, and we're just looking forward, and now we're happy that well, she's happy that I have my education and I have my job and I was able to get through it all.
Wonderful. And I wanted to ask you, how was it like when you got your citizenship? You know, when you go, it's not really downtown, you know, the place where you go, Coppers Avenue, you know, where you get your citizenship. Yeah. What was that like? Because they literally say, we know you've had a long journey. Congratulations. What was that like?
It felt amazing. It felt like I was welcomed into this country, and all the hard work that I put in and my parents put in to help me get to the point I am now was worth it. But yeah, it was a lot of hard work and trust in God that I would get to where I am. And I felt really blessed.
Okay.
A wonderful experience to have, like, pledged my allegiance to the U.S.
Nice. All right. Any other thing that you'd like to share that I did not ask?
We could talk about the food. The food in Mexico is amazing. Yes.
That's the fun part. That's our closing out part. We can jump right ahead. So let's start. Thanksgiving just ended last week. So did you have a Mexican menu?
Yes, I would say tacos.
Okay.
I had some good shrimp tacos with some salsa. They were good.
Did you cook?
Yes, I cooked some of it, but then we had like a Friendsgiving, so I was also staying at one of my friends.
Okay, okay. And you did share with us some Cuban food as well, which was delicious.
I brought in some pumpkin crunch cake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was one of my friends' a cake that she made, and it was really good.
Okay. So, well, you can find Mexican food anywhere here. Do you think it's the same? Like,
no.
It's not, I huh?
Where you can get really good, authentic Mexican food would be in Mexico from street vendors.
Street vendors, huh? I do agree with you. You know, I went for a wedding, oh my, Los Cabos. Mm-hmm. I don't like tacos in general. So I remember when I first came to the United States of America, I was looking for a meat pie because, you know, we have meat pies back in Zambia. And someone told me, oh, I think what you're describing, you need to go to Taco Bell. Oh my God. It was the first and last time I went to Taco Bell. It was, I wasn't digging it. So, and since then, I've never really quite like tacos, even if they're made somewhere else. I see it's not something I would not pick on the menu. But when I was in Los Cabos, I was like, whoa, I could taste the meat.
Yes, the flavor.
Flavorful. Mm-hmm. The rice and beans, it was different.
It was different.
The mangoes. Oh.
Have you tried churros?
The what?
Churros.
So what is that?
It's like a dessert.
Mm.
And it's fried. It's like a crepe texture.
Okay.
If you've ever had crepes, but like it's like fried and harder, and then you dip up in sugar and cinnamon. Sometimes you can fill it inside with like Nutella or just anything like marshmallow or anything else that you like.
No, I didn't try that, but I liked how they had our mangoes. They would cut them up and it was like pepper and salt. I was like, oh,
they're really pretty.
I've never had this way. You know, I'm so used to just eating a mango. The most I might put is salt, because we used to do that when I was a kid. Like before it's ripe, you could use salt. But even when it's ripe now, I do put salt and I love how it tastes. But I was like, oh, this is a different twist and I love it.
Yeah.
So, but the food was really, really good. And I want to go back. I want to go back to different places. I was actually just looking at another place today. I saw it on Instagram. Someone, I was like, huh, never heard of this place, but it looks really nice. Would like to go there. Because I like how they have all-inclusive when you go to, like, you know, the Southern. If you go to Punta Cana or Mexico, you once you've paid, you don't have to worry about buying food. But the street food... Didn't try the street food in Mexico, but I did in Dominican Republic.
Yeah. Each line called like favorite food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Delicious. Delicious. I mean, just like in my country, we call them imichopo. You know, street food is the best. It is the best. All right, Carla. I think we have come to the end. And thank you for sharing with us. And we do hope for the best, because we do know a lot of people were recipients of the DACA and they're sort of just sitting in limbo. And these are children who came, they didn't know. And, you know, you're just here and your life has been here. So we just hope for the best. And I don't know what will happen to the bill, because it's never passed and it's been changing since 2001. I think there are different versions of it. But moving forward, we will see what happens. But we are happy that you are here and you're a citizen now and you're a registered nurse and you're doing great things.
Thank you. And yeah, I do hope for the best for all those people that have DACA. And I feel like the only thing we can do is kind of petition, message our congressman to kind of reinstate DACA and just like... support all those groups that are putting their efforts and keeping that program.
Right. Well, thank you, Carla, and to all our listeners, until the next episode, it is goodbye and take care. Don't forget to rate and review, like, share, and subscribe to wherever you get your podcast from.
Okay, bye.
Muchas gracias, amiga y adiós.